This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon all those who follow his footsteps, who follow his sunnah, who follow his methodology until the last day. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala's lecture is entitled Tolerance, Gentleness and Forgiveness. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala dedicated a chapter to this topic, or two chapters to this topic. One of them is entitled باب الحلم والأناه والرفق, which is the chapter related to clemency, tolerance and gentleness, and the other is related to forgiveness. Now, we have three terms that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala is alluding to. And the first one is al-hilm. And al-hilm, as has been translated, is clemency. Or it could also be looked at as forbearance, being forbearant, or being compassionate, or being lenient, or having mercy. Okay? This is al-hilm. Al-hilmu. Okay? Now, another word that was used here that in this chapter was al-anah. And al-anah here is being tolerant, having tolerance towards others. And the third word that he used is ar-rifq. And ar-rifq means being gentle. And these are all traits. These are all similar traits, okay? But some traits are a little bit more specific than others. Now, when we look at al-hilm, al-hilm is to contain yourself, okay, or to restrain yourself, especially during times of anger, during times of ghadab, of anger, and not being hasty to punish others, or to pass judgment regarding others. So this is having hilm, being forbearant. The other word is anat, and anah is tolerance, and not doing things hastily, and not passing judgment without thorough thought prior. So you don't be quick in executing a punishment or a judgment without giving it some time and really thinking about it. Okay. Also, we have the word ar-rifq, and ar-rifq is, we said, means to be gentle, to be lenient, even if someone is deserving of a punishment. So having this gentleness, or ar-rifq, even if somebody is deserving of it. Now, the only exception would be when it comes to the sharia, or to the laws of Allah, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given clear instructions to carry out a punishment. So for example, when we open up the Quran to Surah An-Nur, in the second verse of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the punishment of az-zani or az-zaniyatu waz-zani, the ones who commit adultery, the ones who commit fornication, zina. Those who commit fornication, zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَالزَّانِيَةُ وَالزَّانِي فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِئَةَ جَلْدَةٍ وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically says that the zaniya here that it's in reference to is an unmarried woman. A zaniya. Wazani is an unmarried man found guilty of sexual intercourse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِئَةَ جَلْدًا. Then lash each one of them 100 times. So there is, they are to be lashed, each one of them with 100 lashes. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. And do not be taken by pity. So here, do not be taken by pity for them in the religion of Allah, in other words, Allah's law. So the point that we're making here is that yes, as Muslims we are gentle and we do pardon, but there are times where this is not warranted. And this is because the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for the protection of society as a whole. So when you have these laws in place, it is out to benefit the society as a whole. Otherwise, if these things, if these acts which are deemed as severe and grave acts or sinful actions, if they are to be pardoned, then there can be a great deal of fitna, of widespread corruption on this earth and in societies. So Islam has imposed a severe punishment and penalty for certain crimes or for certain sins which are for the benefit of society as a whole. So when it comes to zina, when it comes to fornication, or when it comes to adultery, if a person is to be convicted and the punishment is to be given to them, well, in this case, there needs to be at least a confession. There needs to be a volunteered confession. So somebody has to come to the judge and say, I confess that I did such and such an act, then they would be punished. Likewise, if four witnesses, there has to be four witnesses for sexual intercourse. There needs to be four witnesses who witness the act itself before judgment can be passed. So not all sins or not all wrong actions are to be pardoned, especially when it comes to the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he includes a verse, the first verse that he mentions in this chapter is from Surah Ali Imran, verse 134. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here talks about one of the traits of al-muttaqoon. Al-muttaqoon are those who have taqwa Allah, or al-muttaqeen. Al-muttaqeen or al-muttaqoon, whom Jannah has been prepared for. And one of the traits and the characteristics of the people of Jannah, who will go to Jannah, and the people of taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ means those who repress or suppress their anger. Who suppress their anger, who control their anger. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. So when they become angry, they actually control their anger. And Allah says, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ are those who pardon others. Those who pardon others. Now, when we look at those who suppress their anger, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he complemented this verse with a hadith. In the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he once said, "Laysa shadidu bis-sur'a," that the strong person is not the one who can wrestle his opponent to the ground, or who is, you know, good at wrestling bis-sur'a. Wa innama ash-shadidu alladhi yamliku nafsahu 'inda al-ghadab. But the strong person is the one who controls himself or suppresses his anger. The one who controls himself when he is angry. That is the strong person. That's how you measure your strength as a human being? How much control do you have over your anger? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, those who control their anger, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and those who pardon others. So when it comes to pardoning others as well, now a person is pardoned if it's something not to do with the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where there's no specific punishment that should be handed out or meted out to the person who commits a sin. But if a person, for example, let's say for example a person who has committed a sin, and this sin, there's no specific punishment for it, then it's up to a person to, it's up to, for example, the judge or the one in authority to hand out the punishment. When do you forgive and when don't you forgive? Now, the basic rule is this. If a person is known not to be remorseful or regretful, and he's going to, it appears that he's going to continue with his sin, or with his evil, okay, then this person should receive a punishment. But if a person is regretful and remorseful, and this person is sincere, then this person, it is encouraged to forgive that person and to pardon that person. So you look at, you assess the situation. So a person who will not repeat his offense, if it's likely that he's not going to repeat his offense, then it's encouraged to forgive that person. Now we find in Surah Ash-Shura from the Quran in verse number 40, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging pardoning and encouraging forgiveness. And he says, but whoever pardons and makes reconciliation, his reward is due from Allah Azza wa Jal. His reward is due from Allah Azza wa Jal. So there is an encouragement to forgive people, but you need to look at whether there is a benefit that's going to come about in that pardoning or not. Now, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included a number of other ayat, and from amongst the ayat that included, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, show forgiveness, enjoy what is good, and turn away from the foolish. And then in another ayah, Allah says, the good deed and the evil deed cannot be equal. Repel the evil with one which is better. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and verily, whosoever shows patience and forgives, that would truly be from the things recommended by Allah Azza wa Jal. So there's a recommendation to be forgiving and to pardon. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned a number of hadiths to do with being tolerant and being forgiving and being gentle. One hadith that I want to share with you is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that we find in Sahih Muslim. It's about two qualities that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves. And this hadith is whereby the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to one of the Sahaba, Ashaj Abdul Qais, he said to him, Inna fika khaslataini yuhibbuhuma Allah, al-hilmu wal-anah. He said, you possess two qualities. You have about you two qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So what are these two qualities that Allah loves? He mentions them and he says they are al-hilmu wal-anah, al-hilm. And he said they are clemency, okay, or being forbearant, having forbearance, and tolerance, being tolerant. Okay, so these are two qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And so we should, you know, work our utmost to have those qualities within us, inshallah ta'ala, and not being hasty to pass judgment and punishment towards others. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we learn He is Rafiq. He is Rafiq. In this next hadith, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that we find in Bukhari and we find in Muslim, Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa said, Inna Allaha rafiqun yuhibbu rifqa fil amri kullih. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forbearant. And He loves forbearance in all matters. He loves forbearance in all matters. So again, we have to remember that mildness also brings human beings closer to one another. And on this count, Allah likes it very much because it brings us closer together when you are mild. In another hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha also reported that we find in Sahih Muslim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقِ وَيُعْطِي عَلَى الرِّفْقِ مَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى الْعُنْفِ وَمَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى مَا سِوَاهِ. Allah is forbearant and He loves forbearance and rewards for forbearance, while He does not reward severity and does not give for anything beside it. In other words, besides forbearance. So again, let's remember that the opposite of being mild is being harsh and being severe. I mean, think about it. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was harsh and aggressive in his dawah, do you think he would have won and captured the hearts of so many people? I mean, you know, during the farewells pilgrimage, when he was on the mountain of Arafat, he had at least 114,000 Muslims in front of him. Okay, that he captured their hearts as a result of his pristine teachings. And yet, we find a verse in the Quran whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He says to him, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Had you been harsh and aggressive, hard-hearted, فَضَّلْ غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ, very, if you had a hard heart, لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, they would have fled from around you. The Sahaba wouldn't have been so close to you. And that's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, there are many strategies and many techniques and many traits that can make you a people's magnet, you know, a people magnet. So whereby, you know, you attract people. So again, one of the most beautiful thing is to be gentle and to be easy with people and to be tolerant and to be forgiving and gentle. Now, another hadith, and this is another very beautiful hadith that we find in Sahih Muslim. It's the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ وَلَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. That rifq, that whenever forbearance is added to something, it adorns it, it beautifies it. And whenever it is withdrawn from something, it leaves it defective. This is a very important hadith that all of us should remember when we come across a moment whereby it's going to be a really challenging, you know, scenario, whereby, you know, you really want to sort of shout and scream and show that somebody is wrong and they've got it all wrong, and you know, they're just being stubborn or they're being arrogant and they're speaking out of ignorance, and you know that you've got a really strong case. But if you conduct yourself in an aggressive way, you are going to spoil the situation. That you are going to turn away that person. So it's very important to remember these words of the Prophet ﷺ, that you now need to be gentle. You are in a situation whereby you can actually, you know, your choice of words and your mannerisms is what's going to basically make or break this deal, or make or break this situation. And I think really that's why we really have to always, not get angry and not allow anger to permeate okay, our minds. Because what happens when you become angry is that it paralyzes your mind. And when your mind and your brain is paralyzed, you can no longer make the correct judgment. So it's very important. That's why anger, it's very important to control anger and not get angry. You could be making the wrong choices and the wrong decisions and the wrong judgments. So remember this hadith. إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَ وَلَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَ. That whenever there's gentleness, it's going to beautify the situation. And whenever you remove it, it's going to disfigure, make it defective and ugly. Another hadith. This is a very interesting hadith, this next one. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's the story about how a Bedouin, a desert Arab, who's away from the, you know, the Muslims, he comes in to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mosque or masjid at that time didn't have, you know, carpet. I mean, it was pretty much dirt with some gravel or pebbles. And this man, he actually comes to one of the corners of the masjid and he just, you know, does his thing. He just urinates. You know, he needed to go to the toilet and, you know, they never had, you know, toilets as such, you know, back then. So, it's the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda that we find in Sahih Bukhari originally. And a Bedouin urinated in the mosque and some people rushed to beat him up. They got angry. You know, how dare he? How dare he? You know, urinate in the masjid, in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid, whereby, you know, each prayer that you pray in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid is worth 1,000 prayers. And here you are urinating. They wanted to beat him up. Okay. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw them. He saw that their rage and their anger, and they are approaching him. And he said, da'u, leave him alone. You know, don't hurt him, don't touch him, da'u. Wa ariqu ala bawlihi sajlan min ma, aw dhanuban min ma, fa innama bu'ithtum muyassirina wa lam tub'athu mu'assirin. He said, Leave him alone and pour a bucket of water over it. You have been sent to make things easy and not to make things difficult. So again, making things easy on people. I mean, what would they have benefited and gained by harming him? They would have turned him away. They would have given a wrong picture. Okay? And that's what happens. People look at, you know, our actions. People aren't looking at just our words. They're looking at how we conduct ourselves as Muslims. Okay? So, in another narration, it basically states that this man was so pleased with the way the Prophet ﷺ handled it, he said, "Oh Allah, have mercy upon me and Muhammad and nobody else." He was ignorant. He thought that the mercy of Allah, it can only be limited. It can't encompass or envelop others. So he said, "May Allah have mercy upon you, me and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "No." He said to him that Allah's mercy can encompass all. So again, that's how much he loved this action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, you know, alhamdulillah, a positive outcome, a very positive outcome. And again, it happened through gentleness and being easygoing, inshaAllah ta'ala. So again, this hadith brings into light the fact that leniency is also vitally needed in the sphere of education and discipline. When you come to educate others, when you come to discipline others, you need to be lenient, easygoing, build rapport with your students to begin with, win their hearts over. Very, very important when you are teaching others, to especially in the beginning, you want to win over their hearts and win over their minds so that they can always now listen to you and respect you and take your heed of your advice. Now, otherwise, if you start to treat, you know, them unkindly, they're not going to listen to you. They're going to basically block you out of their mind. You know, they're too upset and they're too angry. with what you the way you initially treated them. So we learn also from this hadith of how to give da'wah, you know. So we learn how to give da'wah, that there is hikmah to be applied, there is wisdom that is to be applied. And we also learned that, you know, whenever there is urine on somewhere, that water is itself is in and of itself a purifying agent. That you just, the Prophet ﷺ said, just, you know, pour some water over it. As long as there's some running water over the urine, okay, that will clean it. So it doesn't have to be soap. It doesn't have to be detergents and what have you. That water in itself is tahur. That means it is pure in and of itself, and it is purifying to other things. So water, that water is a purifying agent. The next hadith is the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that is found originally in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yassiru wa la tu'assiru wa bashiru wa la tunaffiru. He said, make things easy. Yassiru, yusr. Yusr, make things easy. Wa la tu'assiru, and don't make things difficult. Wa bashiru, and be from amongst those that give bushra, which is glad tidings. Okay? وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا, and don't repel people, don't repulse people. Okay? So, some, you know, we often hear this saying that deen is yusr, that deen, religion is easy. Now, yes, the religion is easy. What does that mean? It means that if you cannot pray standing, you can pray sitting. If you can't pray sitting, you can pray on your side if you have an excuse. Okay, it means that if you can't fast during the month of Ramadan, you can always make up those days after Ramadan. It means that if you don't have the financial or physical means to perform Hajj, then you can always delay your Hajj. That's what yusr means here, that the deen is yusr. But some people have gone too far in when it comes to this statement that the deen, that the religion is easy. You know, don't make things hard. And they say, well, you know, we don't have to pray on time. We can delay our prayers because Allah is all merciful. We can, we can just Ramadan. You know, we work these days. We have long hours, and you know, deen is not made to be difficult. We say, no, you have a wrong understanding of what the statement of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, so it means here that we do have many concessions. We do have many concessions in Islam. But we need to ask about those concessions and not be making up things about our religion and saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful and He'll forgive me and words to that effect. another hadith is the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, that is found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man yuhram al-rifqa يُحْرَمِ الْخَيْرَ كُلَّهِ. He said, he who is deprived of forbearance and gentleness is in fact deprived of all good. A person who is deprived of these qualities is deprived of much goodness. The next hadith is a very familiar hadith to all of you, inshallah ta'ala. It's the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, that is originally found in Sahih al-Bukhari. It's the hadith whereby a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, awsini. Awsini means give me some advice. Give me some advice. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la taghdab. La taghdab, meaning don't become angry. فَرَدَّدَ مِرَارًا, and he repeated this a number of times. He repeated this, don't become angry. لا تغضب. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people would come to him and ask him for advice. And the Prophet, just because, for example, now that you've heard this hadith, and you've heard this scenario, let's say someone comes to you and says to you, can you please give me some advice for the sake of Allah? And then you go, well, I remember that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask the same question, so I'm going to also give the same advice. Well, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave advice, he assessed the situation of that person and he saw what is it that person needed most. Okay? And he saw that person needed, it would be better for him to be from amongst those who controls his anger. So he reminds him, لا تغضب, don't become angry. Okay, to some people that he would come to him, you know, they would ask him, you know, which action is best in Islam? And sometimes he would say to one person, you know, salah, on time. And to another person, it might be jihad. To another person, it might be sadaqah, because he knows he's a person of wealth. So everybody, the Prophet ﷺ would address according to their, you know, situation. According to their situation. So the next hadith is the hadith of Abu Ya'la Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu anhu, and it's found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, verily Allah has prescribed ihsan. Now here ihsan means kindness. That Allah has prescribed ihsan, kindness, for everything. So when you kill, you must make the killing in the best manner. And when you slaughter, make your slaughter in the best manner. Let one of you sharpen his knife and give ease to his animal. In other words, in order to reduce the pain. Now, this hadith, subhanAllah, even when it comes being on in a battlefield. So if you are on a battlefield fighting the enemy, okay, a believer is told not to let his passions of enmity and hatred go wild. Okay, Islam is always teaching us to be gentle, and that even an enemy or a criminal shouldn't be put through a torturous death. Torture in Islam is not allowed, even if you are at war with somebody. This is not allowed in Islam. It's not, you know, Islam is against, during war of killing women or children or older people. Okay, this is, you know, not allowed. Not allowed to break trees and even in war. And subhanAllah, we find in the pre-Islamic era, like in during the Jahiliyyah, during the days of Jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance, the period of ignorance, it was a prevalent practice. There was this practice whereby that the limbs of a victim were mutilated before they were finally killed. They'd actually mutilate the person before they actually killed them. So Islam came and put all these rules, okay, and regulations into place. You're not allowed to do that. This is haram, okay? And this is a sin in Islam. So even subhanAllah, when it comes to slaughtering animals, you know, Islam teaches us how to slaughter animals, you know, mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sharpening the knife, ensuring that there is, you know, the blood does flow out of the animal, that the blood is not going to remain inside the animal, because that also makes the meat not good for consumption, as has been proven. So when it comes to animals, for example, even slaughtering an animal away from the sight of another animal, okay? And this is how we treat animals, subhanAllah, when it comes to slaughtering them, and this is something that is allowed. You know, what can be said about, you know, being war and fighting others? So again, Islam is about a quick death for the animal when it's being slaughtered, and ensuring that at least two of the art of the four arteries are severed, and that, you know, it's not severed from the back, okay, but it's severed from the front. Quick death, as quickly as possible, is what Islam teaches us when it comes to slaughtering of animals. And subhanAllah, we find that, you know, when we talk about halal meat, when we say the word halal, halal actually means wholesome. So when you're buying halal meat, you know, you actually know that what process that meat has gone through. You know, that it's healthy for consumption, that there's been no animal cruelty. Okay? There's been no torture. okay, that it's being slaughtered according to sound ways or methods, and that are wholesome, inshallah. The next hadith again shows us the prophetic way of doing things. It's the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whenever he was given a choice between two matters, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a choice between two matters, he always chose the easier as long as it was not sinful to do so. But if it was sinful, he was most strict in avoiding it. And he never took revenge upon anybody for his own sake, but when Allah's legal bindings were outraged, he would take revenge for Allah's sake. So again, the Prophet ﷺ, the two things between which the Prophet ﷺ would make his choice could be something to do with the religion or something to do with the dunya. And we find, for example, that whenever he had two choices to make, he chose the easier one. So why make things difficult on yourself or difficult on others when you do have a choice of two things? If you have a choice of two things, and both of them are halal, and both of them are permissible, then always the rule is, choose the easier one. Don't choose the harder one. Okay, if you can go to, you know, if you can travel to Mecca, all right, to perform your pilgrimage, and you can go by ship, or you can go by plane. You have two choices. One is easier than the other. Well, don't say, well, I want to go by the means of transportation that is more difficult because I want more reward. Well, the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith is making it very clear that when he had a choice between two matters, he chose the easier one. Let that be our way of doing things as well. They'd always choose the easier. But if the easier one is haram or contain elements of sin, then keep away from it. That's what the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us. And we also learn that the Prophet ﷺ, okay, if he had a choice between war and between peace, he chose peace. The Prophet ﷺ would not opt for war. He would always look at ways of, if there was a peaceful way of resolving things. Likewise, he never retaliated for personal reasons. The Prophet ﷺ never took personal revenge. Okay, the only time he would, take action is if the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal were transgressed. If the limits of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala were transgressed, then he would take action. In the last hadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included in this chapter is the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, whereby the Prophet ﷺ said, shall I not tell you whom the hellfire is forbidden to touch? Whom the hellfire is forbidden to touch. And he goes on and he says, it is forbidden to touch a man who is always accessible, having polite and tender nature. So the hellfire will not touch those type of people, believing people, of course. Now the next chapter is forgiveness, and forgiveness of the ignorant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Show forgiveness, enjoin what is good, and turn away from the foolish. And turn away from the foolish. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those who pardon men, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves those who do good. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a number of hadiths. And the hadith, he mentions the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. And this hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. It's the hadith whereby she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you ever experienced a day harder than the day of the battle of Uhud? Now we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the battle of Uhud, he was injured. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was injured during this battle, and the Prophet's face was wounded, and one of his molars was broken, one of his molar teeth were broken, and he fell into a pit that was dug up by Amr al-Rahib, and it was the battle in which his uncle Hamza was martyred, and the disbelievers had mutilated his body, the body of Hamza radiallahu anhu wa arda. So this was a very, very trialing battle for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Aisha, she says to him, did you ever go through a more trialing period than the battle of Uhud? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to her, indeed I experienced them, or the dangers, at the hands of your people. In other words, the disbelievers from amongst the Quraysh. The hardest treatment I met from them was on the day of Aqaba, when I went to Ibn Abd Yalil Ibn Abd Kulal, who was one of the chiefs of Taif, with the purpose of inviting him to Islam. But he made no response to my call, so I departed with deep distress. I did not recover until I arrived at Qarn al-Tha'alib. There I raised my head and saw a cloud which had cast its shadow on me. I saw in it Jibril, he saw Gabriel in the cloud, alayhi salam, who called me and said, indeed Allah the Exalted heard what your people said to you and the response they made to you, and he has sent you the angel in charge of the mountains to order him to do to them what you wish. And then the angel of the mountains called me, greeted me and said, O Muhammad, Allah listened to what your people had said to you. I am the angel of the mountains, and my Rabb has sent me to you so that you may give me your orders. I will carry out your orders. If you wish, I will bring together the two mountains that stand opposite to each other at the extremities of Mecca to crush them in between. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I rather hope that Allah will raise from among their descendants people as will worship Allah the One and will not ascribe partners to Him in worship. So what we learn is the patience of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's when he went to Taif and he was driven out of Taif. And despite him being injured, this was a very, very tough time for him. It was tougher than the time of Uhud. And yet we learn about the Prophet ﷺ's forbearance and forgiveness and forgiving nature that he had, even towards his enemies who are causing him and afflicting harm upon him, physically. So he was very patient, he had self-control. We see the Prophet ﷺ's tolerance, and this is very, very important during times of trials and tribulations. Another thing that we learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he never hit anybody. And in the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Aisha mentions, he never hit anything with his hand, neither a servant nor a woman, but of course he did fight in the cause of Allah. He never took revenge upon anyone for the wrong done to him, but of course he exacted retribution for the sake of Allah in the case of injunctions of Allah about unlawful acts were violated. There's another incident during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and we find this incident in Bukhari and Muslim, and it's whereby the Prophet ﷺ was once, he was wearing a cloak with a very thick border when a Bedouin happened to meet him. He took hold of the side of his cloak and drew it violently. So he took hold of the cloak, of the collar of the Prophet ﷺ, and he's basically doing this to the Prophet ﷺ. And I noticed that the violence of that jerk had bruised the neck of the Prophet ﷺ. It bruised his neck. And the Bedouin said to the Prophet ﷺ, give me out of Allah's wealth that which you possess. And so the Messenger of Allah turned to him and smiled and directed that he should be given something. So here's this man, you know, pulling at the Prophet ﷺ. He's bruised his neck, and the Prophet ﷺ just turns to him, he smiles and says, look, give this man what he wants. He could have said, look, you know, punish this person. He could have said, let's beat this person up. But that's not from the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he's our role model, and he's the one that we should be following in his footsteps. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions one of the prophets of Allah of the past. Because this was the trait of being forgiving and forbearant and clemency. This is a trait of the prophets. And in this hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that we find in Bukhari Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, I can see the messenger of Allah. Or Ibn Mas'ud reported, I can see the messenger of Allah ﷺ look like one of the prophets of Allah whose people beat and made him bleed while he was wiping the blood from his face, and he was saying, oh Allah, forgive my people because they know not. That's how a prophet was beaten up. There was blood pouring from his face, and he's wiping the blood, and he's saying, Ya Allah, forgive my people. That's the sort of qualities that we want to see in the Muslims, inshallah ta'ala. In the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, and this is the last hadith mentioned in this chapter of forgiveness, it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, laysa ash-shadidu bis-sur'a innama ash-shadidu alladhi yamliku nafsahu 'inda al-ghadab, that the strong person is not the one who wrestles his opponent to the ground. That's not the strong person. But the strong person is the one who controls himself in a fit of rage, of ghadab, of extreme anger. Okay? Now, there is another chapter that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he included here. It's called the endurance of afflictions. And I just want to mention, he only mentions one hadith. And basically, it's a very important hadith because it applies to a lot of us. At one point or another in our lives. And it's the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda that is found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Abu Hurairah reported that a man said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have relatives with whom I try to maintain good relationship, but they sever relations with me. So here I am trying to have these good relationship with my relatives, but they sever them, that they cut off these ties. They always, you know, for example, mean to him. He said, you know, whom I treat kindly, but they treat me badly, with whom I am gentle, but they are rough to me. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if you are as you have said, then it is as though you are feeding them hot ashes, and you will not be without a supporter against them from Allah as long as you do so. So in other words, for as long as this person remains gentle with his relatives who are trying to cut off the ties with him and trying to treat him in a harsh manner, then he is victorious over them. He is victorious over them. And he will have a supporter with him for as long as he continues to behave with them in a goodly manner. So again, we will have people in our lives, family members who will try and sever relationships and make things hard. Here the hadith is teaching us to go gentle, to go easy on these people, inshallah ta'ala. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll leave off on this hadith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who are gentle, those who are tolerant, those who are forbearing and patient and forgiving towards others. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala these traits, which are from amongst the people of Al-Muttaqoon, who will be from the people of Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khairan, wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.